The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickrey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly. Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Excused.
Esquivel excused. Filer. Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Hutchings,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson,
here.
Lockhart, Lockhart, Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller excused, Moniz,
here.
Nicholas, Nicholas, Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Petroff,
Piperinen,
Reeder, Simlick, Summers,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Teeters excused, Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Nicholas,
excused.
Nicholas excused, 57 present, 3 excused.
Does anybody want to run a bill to change Chairman Harshman's name to Z. Harsh? The prayer of the day is by Reverend Mark Marston, representing the First United Methodist Church in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, creator of all things, giver of all gifts, help us to focus this day on the tasks that are before us. Give these men and women, our Lord, strength, resolve, perseverance, and the wisdom to serve. Be close to them, our Lord. Guide them to do all these things that they have been called upon as leaders. Bless them, our Lord, that they may do all things that are pleasing in your sight, that they may serve you, this great state, and all of its people. Our Lord in heaven, if they are troubled, give them calm. If they are in disputes, give them a sense of kindness and statesmanship. If they are in anger, our Lord, give them peace. If they act in the moment, our Lord, give them wisdom. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Or at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 23rd, 2013 has been read and recommends it be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
We're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 165. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 63, School District Special Reserve Funds, ayes 13, noes 17. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Our doctor of the day today is Christina Bellinger, M.D. from Cheyenne. Dr. Bellinger, welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of announcements of committee changes. Representative Reeder will be on the Transportation Committee. Representative Larson will be on the Labor Committee, and they will switch positions. We're now at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 227.
House Bill 227, introduced by Representative Watt,
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 227 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 213.
House Bill Number 213, introduced by Representative Winters.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation.
House Bill 213 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 223.
House Bill Number 223, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public records.
House Bill 223 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill Number 230, introduced by Representative Winters.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school safety and security.
House Bill 230 is referred to Committee for Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill Number 225, introduced by Representative Summers.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to brands.
House Bill 225 is referred to Committee 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 228.
House Bill 228 is introduced by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public lands.
House Bill 228 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 229.
House Bill Number 229, introduced by Representative Larson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to regulation of natural gas.
House Bill 229 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, could you come up here? Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 226.
House Bill Number 226, as introduced by Representative Lockhart.
House Bill 226, or first reading of the bill.
An act relating to oil and gas.
House Bill 226 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 224.
House Bill 224, introduced by Representative Miller. First reading.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the State Miners Hospital.
House Bill Number 224 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to real property.
Senate File 9 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, as represented by J.D. Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy.
Senate File 34 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File Number 53, introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to partitions of real property.
Senate File Number 53 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File Number 67 is introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File Number 67 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File Number 8, as introduced by the School Facilities Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school capital construction.
Senate File Number 8 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill Number 30, introduced by?
Senate File Number 30 is introduced by the Revenue Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to special districts.
House Senate File 30 is referred to Revenue Committee 3. Senate File 47, introduced by?
Senate File Number 47 is introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance.
Referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Senate File 55, consideration.
Senate File Number 55 is introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to a statewide energy and natural resource education initiative.
Referred to Education Committee Number 4. Senate File Bill 4, introduced by?
Senate File Number 4, introduced by Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to livestock.
Referred to Agriculture Committee Number 5. Senate File 7, introduced by?
Senate File Number 7, introduced by the Agricultural Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to conservation districts.
Agriculture Committee Number 5. Senate File 20 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 20 as introduced by the Agricultural Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state lands.
Referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 33 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 33 as introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to search and rescue fees.
Referred to Committee 6, Travel. Senate File 40 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 40 as introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board.
Referred to Travel Committee 6. Okay. Senate File 41 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 41 is introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state parks.
Referred to the Travel Committee 6. Senate File 6 for our consideration.
File Number 6 as introduced by the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public utilities.
Senate File 6 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 5 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 5 is introduced by the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File Number 44 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 44 is introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the military department.
Referred to Transportation Committee Number 8. Senate File 45 for our consideration.
Senate File Number 45 as introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
Referred to Transportation Committee number 8. Senate File 46 for our consideration.
Senate File number 46 as introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations.
Referred to Transportation Committee number 8. Senate File 2 for our consideration.
Senate File number 2 as introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to oil and gas.
Referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. Senate File 3 for our consideration.
Senate File number 3 as introduced by the Minerals Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to oil and gas.
Referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. Senate File 22 for our consideration.
Senate File number 22 as introduced by the Minerals Department.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to trade and commerce.
Referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. Senate File 73 for our consideration.
Senate File number 73 introduced by the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to unemployment compensation.
Referred to Committee number 10, Labor. We are now at that order of business for Mr. Speaker to be present.
At that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 203, Health Benefit Exchange Study in Select Committee, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Throne, and Wilson. One excuse, and that was Representative Reeder, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
We're at that order of business of re-referrals of bills. Representative or Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer House Bill 203 to your committee, number 2, Appropriations.
And without objection, it is so ordered. Representative Escobel, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the 62nd, in our west balcony is the Susan G. Komen Wyoming affiliate, and the lady in the middle, maybe some of you might recognize her. That's my wife, Susie. She's the president of the board, and those pink cookies you got from her. And also, Mr. Speaker, today, and for you freshmen, you notice the daffodils, I'm sure. It's the what we call the Day of Hope, and you'll also notice that each leader is given a gold lapel pin, and that pin is for childhood cancer awareness. And childhood cancer is the second leading cause of death in children, and this year we would like to pay special attention to this problem as well as celebrate the implementation of Wyoming's Childhood Cancer Camp Courage in Wyoming, and that's up there in Du Bois. And they usually do it in August, and they take about 10 or 12 kids that are going through cancer, and their parents, they can come up there for a three-day weekend. And that's really gives them an opportunity to visit with other kids that are going through the same thing they're going. And now it's also my pleasure to recognize the Wyoming Cancer Control Consortium in the balcony this morning, and they've helped organize and make that camp a reality for childhood cancer survivors. The mission of the consortium is to develop and implement a comprehensive approach to address cancer prevention, early detection, diagnosis, and treatment in quality of life services and the lessons and impacts of cancer in Wyoming. We are also invited to a legislative luncheon today at 12:15 in the Hirschler Building, Hearing Room 1699, for a Qdoba buffet, and then you'll actually get to see copies and brochures of Camp Courage, and there's a documentary that'll be available this afternoon there as well. So welcome, Wyoming CCC.
Welcome to the House. Are there any other privileges of the floor? We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill number 61 is introduced by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to trade and commerce.
House Bill 61 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62.
House Bill number 62, as introduced by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to environmental quality.
House Bill 62 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill number 98 is introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to county clerks.
House Bill 98 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 133.
House Bill number 133 is introduced by Representative Connolly, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 133 has an amendment. Representative Croker.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 133. Members of the body, this is just a cleanup amendment. There was a section that we took out of this bill during committee, and it got left in the title, so it's just cleaning that up.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's certainly a friendly amendment.
Any further discussion? Discussion? Hearing none, sensing you're ready to vote. All in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 133, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 133, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 104.
Senate File number 104, as introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to government administration.
There are two amendments. The first amendment, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to remove second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 104. What we're doing here, going along with that, there's two things in your mailbox that kind of relate to this. First one is a letter from an employee. We had letters from employees yesterday saying how bad it was. Here's one that's saying how good it is. And then yesterday we had a speaker that talked about a former superintendent that said this really needs to be done. If you look at this one, here's a former superintendent that said it shouldn't be done. So I just thought those would be good to point out. This amendment is one that I'm trying to keep politics out of this position, this potential position, and what it's saying is that anybody who's an employee of the state of Wyoming at the effective date shall not be appointed by the governor as that director. And I do have or interim director, and I think there's someone that would like to talk on that.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to divide the amendment, and I'm going to need the good help of the Speaker to determine whether or not it's divisible. But I would really like to be able to consider whether or not we can strike or interim and just consider in the amendment, just considering that we shall not appoint just the director from the pool of state employees that we have.
The chair finds that that amendment is not divisible because they don't stand on their own. You can bring a third reading amendment if this amendment passes, but the chair finds that's not divisible at this point.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thought maybe that was the case after I studied it further. Can I go ahead and continue?
Please, Chairman.
Thank
you.
That would be my compromise position, and clearly this amendment doesn't allow for that, and so I would ask the body at this time to vote no, and I would even co-sponsor a third reading amendment with the good representative to meet his intentions, but I would ask you to vote no.
Anybody else for their first time? Chairman or Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my concern is, and it's just logistically how I envision this bill moving if it should pass out of this body, is that on third reading tomorrow, we pass the vote. Let's say it does pass. whoever is currently employed before the effective date of the act of the governor's signature, all they have to do, if there is somebody picked out, have to resign from their job tomorrow. And that would pretty much nullify this amendment. And I would assume just logistically, and I don't know this besides just common sense, this bill may, you know, go into law by next Monday or Tuesday, and I kind of assume somebody's got somebody or a couple people in mind for it. So I guess all we'd have to do is see who resigns from their job tomorrow afternoon, and we'd know who the new interim director would be should this bill pass. So that's my concern, if that can be fixed on third reading, to address that concern.
Anybody else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I would like to move along with this second reading amendment, and if the good chair would like to bring that amendment and fix that, we can discuss that tomorrow. But my main goal is to, as the last speaker just talked about, keep politics out of here. I would like whoever is going to be looked at to have a fresh look at things, not be kind of caught in all the rhetoric, the mire that's been going along associated with this. So I think this is a good amendment, and I'd appreciate you voting for it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any further discussion? I guess there is no further discussion. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 104. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion fails. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 104. Representative Gingrey, or Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2. What this amendment would do is it places $20,000 available to the Superintendent of Public Instruction. The appropriation could be used solely for the purpose of retaining independent legal counsel and paying associated litigation expenses to challenge the constitutionality of the act. We pay for, meaning the state, will pay for the defense of the constitutionality. We have the Attorney General. What is not fair is that when she will challenge this, she will have to use her personal funds to point out that the legislature did something unconstitutional. That, to me, does not seem fair to force her to use her own money. There's clearly a disagreement on the constitutionality. You heard some of that yesterday. You know, it'll come down to what you think the word general means. You know, general supervision of public schools. She'll be entrusted to the state superintendent of public instruction. Some don't think general supervision means what I think it means. And that's why we take it to the five people across the street. Well, it might actually be four. I think one of them is probably going to have a conflict. But you take it to the people across the street, and they make that decision. The issue is fairness. Over and over, we've heard allegations back and forth. There's no one under oath. There's no cross-examination. The allegations, in some cases, are anonymous. I come from a world where, in my day-to-day life, that's not how we do business. We do things where people are under oath, people are cross-examined, facts are presented, evidence is reviewed, and we make a decision based on that. There are allegations being lodged now in the other direction. You know, we have an education liaison. I thought we'd all agreed to not do that on this floor, that we were going to stick to the bill. And that's what I tried very hard yesterday, to stick to the constitutionality of the bill, stick to the merits of the bill, and not bring in the allegations against the education liaison, not bring in the allegations regarding the contracts that she rescued, not bring on all the allegations. And I thought we'd agreed to that. Apparently we did not. There's still a way out, folks. This is a train wreck. This isn't over when you vote tomorrow. And I know the votes are there, but this is going to keep going. And this is not going to play out well. And I would hope, and I would hope we could spend the afternoon trying to find some amendments for tomorrow that resolve some of this. And there's one very easy amendment. If you heard what I said yesterday, I agree that you can take some of her powers away. You can add powers, too. You can't take them all away. We need to find a balance here. Find which things maybe she can or she's willing to do and which things maybe we need to transfer to the governor. But there's a way out, and I would hope we could spend the afternoon resolving this so we don't all leave here so divisive. I've never seen this body as divisive as I've ever seen it in my 9 years down here. I'm seeing friendships end. I'm seeing very heated arguments off this floor, people yelling and screaming and crying, and that's not the body I'm used to. That's not what I have ever seen down here. What this amendment shows is that it's not personal. This amendment, if you vote for it, you can still be for the bill, but this shows that it isn't personal. So you're not taking it out on her. Let's put the $20,000 there so she doesn't have to dip into her savings. Let her challenge the constitutionality. Let's get it resolved. Let's all say, well, you know, Keith was wrong. It was constitutional after all. Great, that'd be fine. But to force someone to go into their savings and spend their own money to prove this, I think is just not fair. And I'd urge you to vote aye.
Representative Yagi.
I would like to call for the ayes and the noes on this amendment.
Second. Representative Nicholas. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would call for a Rules Committee meeting. I have concerns that this amendment could potentially be unconstitutional because we are directly appropriating money to an individual.
Well, let's come up and have a Rules Committee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rules Committee has determined that it's a gray area, that it's in the best view of public policy to debate the merits of the amendment, and so we will proceed with the amendment as proposed. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in opposition to the amendment. If you can't survive by direct attack, then you have to use an indirect attack, and I submit that that's what this amendment is. From the legal representatives that I know that have addressed this, including the LSO, this is not an unconstitutional bill. It simply is not. But by raising the vector that it may be, creates, if you will, some indirect attack on the underlying bill itself. And I would submit that that's all this is. And if there is divisiveness because of this bill, it's because of amendments like this that are trying to redirect our thinking and the constitutionality of this, as opposed to what we're really doing, which is enforcing our obligation under the Constitution for the best education of our children. And if you want to talk about fairness, let's talk about the 40% of the employees that were fired. How fair was that in terms of the Wyoming Department of Education? This isn't about fairness, this amendment. And the idea that, and not only that, but what about the threat of litigation and using the threat of litigation to say, don't pass this bill because we're going to sue you. And not only that, let's help the superintendent sue the legislature and to determine the constitutionality of it. That's not fair, and that's not what this body does. So I would urge you to not support this amendment.
Anybody else for the first time? That's his second time. First time. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, this is serious business, and I really object to the veiled threats that keep spewing out over this thing. Bad things are going to happen. You're going to get sued. I don't think that has any place on this floor. What we do on this floor is we debate the merits. We debate the idea, and we address the issue. And we address it on its merits, and it either rises or falls on its own 2 feet. It doesn't rise or fall on some threats that outside forces are at work and sinister things are going to happen. So I just wish we didn't have that here, and I would urge the body to disagree with that. You know, one of the things I've always said in a humorous manner about this body is the difference between being here and being in court is in court you got a steely-eyed guy. When you're at the podium, you got a steely-eyed guy sitting behind you that's policing everything you say. And there's a lot of rules and a lot of constraints on what can be said and how it can be said. And this body's different. Here, there's no steely-eyed guy back there, and we take off. We wander all over the place. We talk about all kinds of things. We give expert testimony. Offer and accept hearsay and all sorts of stuff that wouldn't be acceptable in court. And so to say that that there were some things said on the floor that were improper or improvident or that weren't within the rules, I just vehemently disagree with that. I've seen yelling, screaming, and crying here before, and we'll probably see it this term before the session is over. We haven't gotten to the social bills yet, and I've seen a woman out in that corridor over there broken down, crying to the point she couldn't regain her composure to come back on the floor. And I said myself one time in the eminent domain wars when we had those, I stood right here and said, there's blood all over the floor back there. So I don't buy that. There is another lawsuit going on right now that challenges the constitutionality of something that this body did. And it's brought by an interested party. And that's the issue of term limits. What we did is we passed term limits for everyone, the executive branch and ourselves. Then there was a modification to that in which, and there was a lot of debate, and it was heated over that, where we adjusted the term limit thing so that the House members and the Senate members had the same number of years under term limits. So it was 6 terms for us, 3 terms for them. It was 12 years either way, instead of doing it in terms, we did it in years. Then that went to court, and it was challenged but it was only challenged as to the legislature. And term limits as to the legislature were ruled unconstitutional, and they no longer exist. However, that litigation did not address the term limits in the executive branch. And so the executive branch has remained subject to those term limits until the court, and we all think that the court will rule they're unconstitutional as to the executive branch, but until the court does that, term limits are in place and restrain the length of service for the executive branch. That is being challenged in court. You may have read about it in the paper. That is being challenged in court by a member of the executive branch who did it with his own money. And we didn't appropriate. We didn't say, well, the executive branch is, it's probably going to be right. We probably shouldn't have passed it. So we'll appropriate money to somebody in the executive branch so that they can bring a lawsuit with a private attorney to contest the constitutionality of term limits and their application to the executive branch. We didn't do that. And once you start that, where does it stop? And there's all kinds of theories out there and all kinds of thoughts, some germane, some relevant, some probably meritorious, and many that aren't. And are we going to start with every piece of legislation that we pass? Are we going to start appropriating a separate pot of money to somebody to contest the constitutionality? And if we do that, don't we just default to the Supreme Court and say, well, okay, we'll just get in here, we'll throw a bunch of stuff up on the wall, and then we'll go over to the Supreme Court, and they'll tell us whether it'll stick or not. I don't think that's the way it ought to be done. I just object to this whole concept. There are all kinds of groups out there just all lathered up, wanting to sue on one question and another, and when they find one that they like, they bring it. And I'm comfortable that if the constitutionality of this is seriously in question, there's a group out there that will bring it. And we'll have to defend it, or the executive branch, or the attorney general will have to defend it. And I don't think it's right or appropriate to throw in the towel before the fight's even over and say, we don't know, we're just going to pass this thing, and we're going to send two lawyers over to the Supreme Court and let the Supreme Court make the decision. I don't think that's the way it ought to work. And I would urge you to defeat this amendment and not start funding constitutional challenges to statutes that we pass simply because there's some veiled threat out there somewhere that maybe it's not constitutional.
Anybody else for their first time? First time, second time. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, quite troubled by some of the things that are being said in the openness and fairness and germane hearsay that is being alluded to. It's okay for those that think that's the way it is to say the other side is all of those things opposite. But when one side says the other side, this is not the way it ought to be, then we have a lot of things going on. So I'm really for fairness and what's germane. Comment, 40% of the employees were fired. They were not fired. I would dispute that. So things like that are just brought up. And again, what's germane and what's really truthful and what's being said? I too am very upset at all of this. And the fairness, I would really like to prevail, not the will of this group kind of imposed. I think each one of us, there's 60 of us, and each one of us ought to be doing what we think. And if we're doing that, that's all I care. So fairness, I would hope that would be, and I stand for this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Gingrey? We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 104. The Chief Clerk will call the ayes and noes.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Filer.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Harvey. Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Yeah.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller excused. Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff. Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlek.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 13 aye, 46 no, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 104 has failed. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker. Do we move that bill forward on for third reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Senate File 104, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Now we are on that order of business of third reading of and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 56, 95, 127, 151, 167, 188, and 190.
And the reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill number 56 is introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to environmental quality be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 95 is introduced by Representative Blake, an act relating to public safety be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 127 is introduced by Representative Gingery, an act relating to veterans be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 151 is introduced by Representative Piperinen, an act relating to trust be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 167, introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to judicial retirement be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 188, introduced by Representative Stebson, an act relating to public funds be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 190 is introduced by Representative Walters, an act relating to public defenders be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly. Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
aye.
Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 56, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 95, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 127, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 151, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 167, are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 188, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 190, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bills 50, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 56, 95, 127, 151, 167, 188, and 190 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25.
House Bill number 25 is introduced by Representative Wallace. An act relating to paramutual wagering be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 25, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Harvey. Harvey, no. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart. Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson. Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 25 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39.
House Bill 39 is introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There's two amendments. The first amendment, Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one. All this does, over on page 30, line 41, it was defining what minor offenses was, and that we just had it as C or D, and if you remember, at standing committee amendment, we added E, and I'd forgotten we'd done that, so I just needed to add in E on that page.
Any other discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 39. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 39 carries. We are now on third reading amendment number two to House Bill 39. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I know that this is not an easy amendment to read, if you've got it out there. I brought this amendment for two different reasons, actually three different reasons. Number one is, and the most important reason, is I oppose the bill. And I will vote against the bill. And this is the bill. It's 100. First of all, I'd move the amendment, Mr. Speaker. The first thing I'd like to do is say, how many of you know what this bill does? It changes over 1,000 penalties and provisions that are set by statute over the course by this legislature in the past 100 years. It changes length of sentences. It changes the fines to over 1,000 criminal events. And so how many have taken the time to actually walk through each crime to decide whether or not you think increasing the fine or the penalty or decreasing it, because it does both, and to think that that's the right thing and it's the proper thing to do? And I would submit to you that at a minimum, something so drastic and comprehensive ought to be done through an interim committee with a detailed analysis for each and every crime that's being, where the penalty is being changed, the sentence is being increased, or the fine is being increased. You know, lots of the felonies we have, the fines are less than $5,000. Some felonies fines are $750, some felonies are $2,000. This makes an A-class misdemeanor $5,000 fine for every A-class misdemeanor that this thing identifies. How many of you know what is and isn't a misdemeanor, an A-class misdemeanor under this bill? I suggest that no one has done it. And when I put together this amendment, I only got through about the first 30 pages, and I made changes to the particular misdemeanors that I found that I thought either the penalty was too high or too low or it wasn't consistent with the crime that was being charged. So then the first thing I did with this bill is I reduced the Class A misdemeanor down to $2,500 as the top amount, saying that there are some misdemeanors that you can fine where the fine's $5,000, but they're very, very few. So in most instances, this increases by tenfold what the fine is for a misdemeanor. And then I went down. So that's the first line. So that changes the page one, line 23, from 5,000 down to 2,500. Then you go to Class B, and I drop that down from 2,500 to 1,250. Just saying, look, it doesn't make sense that we jump from 750, which are most misdemeanors, up to 5,000. It just doesn't make sense. But more importantly, how do you know what you're voting on? How do you know what crimes you're increasing and what you're not? Generally, this raises everything, and so each line, I'm not going to go through each line item. I can, and I'd be happy to. Basically, it takes them down. It drops them from an A to a B or from a B to a C, and in some instances, for example, improperly labeling bees honey or milk containers, it goes down from a, which would now, under this bill, could turn into a jail time. It turns it down to a $100 fine. But there are literally over 1,000 different misdemeanors that this bill is changing. And I just think that before you vote on this, you ought to understand exactly what you're doing, what fines are being imposed. Most of the sentences, jail sentences, are increased by this, by the way. So we're just throwing out more jail sentences for everybody. And I tried to do that with each one of my amendments, is reduce that. So with that, Your Honor, Mr. Speaker, I move in favor of the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, you know, in my other life, I'm just a country lawyer. I like to read this stuff before it goes on, and I can assure you I have not read this bill. I'm a little bit torn because the good work that the chair of judiciary did, I applaud. I do like this concept that he's put together. I really do. I think it might make things easier going forward with our penalties and our fines. So I do like the concept. I'm torn just a bit on my vote on the bill, but I do stand strongly in favor of the amendment to the extent that I've read it. And the part on the amendment I do think we need to look at seriously is the first two components regarding the size of the penalties. I think that reduction is a very good observation, a very good proposition put forward to this group. And I've worked through a few of the reduction components of it, and I think those are appropriate looking at those types of crimes. Again, I'm not being critical of all the hard work, because as you can see, this is quite a tome here. I'd encourage your support on the bill. I'm still deciding, I encourage your support on the amendment. I'm still deciding on the bill. I don't see how I could support the bill, though, without this amendment.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, thank you very much to the good gentleman from Albany County, or Laramie County, I guess, that took the time to, he had his copy back there really marked up, and he had lots of sticky notes, and I really appreciate the time he took to come up with these. I'd urge you to vote aye for the amendment, and these are all good changes. I would just simply point out that, again, what we're trying to get to is consistency, and I would agree with what pretty much everything he said, that it's a very confusing system that we have, and you pull it out, and he used a funny example, the one with the bees. There's a lot of criminal statutes I wish weren't even on the books, but that's not what I was trying to do with this bill. I wasn't trying to change crimes or to make changes. I'm just trying to create a class and get them closest to the class that they could be. If they were already sort of in nice little classes, I wouldn't have to do it. So what happens is, what you'll have is between a B and an A, for whatever reason, one will be in between. You got to choose which way to go. And the nice thing about this amendment, he's taken a lot of things down that perhaps I went up and he wants to come down. That's fine. I don't care which direction we're going, just as long as we have consistency on the books. As to the argument that it's a big bill, it is. It's been the same argument used against it for 3 years now. Actually, a different representative brought something very similar first, and I actually argued against that bill that year. I used the same exact argument. I said, it's too big, I can't understand it all. And then I started thinking about it after she had brought it, and I said, you know, that's actually a pretty good concept. We really should have consistency on the books. It's not a fair system, and when your judicial system is not fair, people question it. And so fairness is what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to consistency. I would point out that quite a few of you have actually come and talked to me about it. And what I've appreciated is so many of you have your niches that you care about. So one of you came and talked to me, actually multiple of you, came and talked to me specifically about Title 11, dealing with ag. And then some other people cared about some other sections that are not something in my niche. And they said, you know, and let's talk about this. And people called the agency heads and said, what do you think if we change this? And some agencies that I didn't even know we had called and, you know, pointed out that, hey, you know, you look at this section, look at that section. So I think a lot of people have seen it. It's been around for a few years now, so it's not starting to not be a novel concept. I'd urge you to vote for the amendment and to vote for the bill, mostly so I don't have to bring it again next year.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment. I agree with one of the other speakers. The concept is good. The application, I think, leaves a lot to be desired. The amendment could have gone a lot further. Frankly, if someone fishes with live fish or corn as bait, I don't think that's worth 6 months in jail. That's in this bill. On and for the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And first of all, I'd like to recognize that a lot of work has gone into this, and it's happened over several years. I'm on and in favor of the amendment and still uncertain about the bill itself, and it's for this reason. It's a lot of work, and if it's been done primarily by one person, I appreciate that. But I wonder why it wasn't looked at, and probably management council say this is a big enough issue, we should have it as an interim topic, and if that question could be answered when we get back on the bill, that would be helpful to me. So support of the amendment and concern about the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Nicholas? We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 39. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 39 carries. House Bill 39 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow. Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer. Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey, no. Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller, excused. Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petrov.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 26 aye, 33 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 39 has failed to pass the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill number 108 is introduced by Representative Wallace. An act relating to agriculture be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the third reading amendment to HB 108 and ask for a favorable approval. This is exactly the same amendment that you saw yesterday. I'm hoping that you'll indulge me with a little bit of time. So why do we live so much longer than we did before? Why are our lives expected to be a longer length than that of our grandparents? Let me tell you, first indulge me with a little story. Jane Doe and her chicken flock. Jane has decided that she's going to thin her flock, so she's going to take some of them to the county market to get rid of them. She picks out 10 to kill and starts in on the chickens. She's got one done, now two done, and she's in the middle of the third one when the phone rings. Jane's best college friend from college has called her, and she wants to talk to her for a while. So she puts chicken down in the pot on a hot August day and sits underneath the shade of a tree and talks to Julie. So why do we live so much longer than we did before? In the 20s, the Carnot cycle was used in refrigeration to great technical advantage. It's much better than an icebox, and today refrigerators are everywhere. With our involvement into World War II, sulfa was a primary antibiotic. But the introduction of penicillin during World War II was the first of the great miracle drugs. So why do we live so much longer? When the retirement age first came out, it was at a goal to live that long so that you could see and use your well-earned retirement. Later in the 70s, it was raised because people were attaining that age. And now we have a bill to raise the retirement of the judicial court judges to 75. So why do we live so much longer? Part of that answer is in refrigeration. Refrigeration is used to control the growth of bacteria. The use of antibiotics, but now we have super bacteria, flesh-eating diseases. So why do we live so much longer? You go to your garden and you pick a cabbage. You see that the cabbage has worms on it. And you pick off the cabbage worms. And you clean the cabbage the best that you can. And you peel off the affected leaves. And you eat it. But some bugs cannot be picked off. And some are exceptionally small. At that time of year that we give thanks, many notices are out in the newspaper, TV, and radio. And these notices all tell you the same thing. When you're done with dinner, put the turkey in the refrigerator. Take care of it. Cleaner foods, a less bacterial load, refrigeration, antibiotics. These are the things that help us fight off these unwanted bugs. I ask you to please vote in support of this amendment and to take meat out of the bill. Oh, yes. And Jane has finished her conversation with Julie. And it's now time to finish up cleaning those chickens. Thank you.
Anybody else? First time? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my good colleague in Northern Bighorn Basin, I submit going to live a long life because of my good living, but... my lifestyle. I have a question for you before I can vote on this amendment. I understand your arguments on the health side of this, but when this is brought up before, you're talking about an economic detriment to a part of industry, and that was something that piqued my interest, and I really was hoping to hear from you when you brought this amendment back. And so I think when you get the opportunity to get to the mic again, if you could address that for me, it'd help me make my decision on this amendment a little easier. Thank you.
Anybody else for their first time? Representative Croker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I would just submit that, it's not our duty as a government to try and regulate every aspect of every individual's lives. If somebody wants the freedom to buy a product from a neighbor, they should have the right to make that decision themselves. The government doesn't need to force upon them what they think is in their best interest. I think it's just a dangerous direction to go. Please vote down this amendment and support the bill.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I saw this amendment coming around, and so I sent around to your desk a couple of emails that had been sent to me in the last few days from people. And I'd like to call your attention to the one I'm not sure where this lady is from, but she says, I'm not the big chicken outfit. I'm not the big meat outfit. I'm just a lady in Wyoming with 100 or so chickens and turkeys she'd like to sell to her neighbors. And she says, excuse me, amending the Food Freedom Act to exclude meat and poultry is going to be really detrimental to her. She only raises 35 turkeys a year, or last fall. There's only one, soon to be zero, poultry processing facilities in the state. The dollars just don't work out to be able to use those facilities for that small of an operation. And then she finishes her message by saying regulations and laws in Wyoming should benefit the citizens of Wyoming first and foremost, both as consumers and as producers. And I would have to say, you know, let me give you the real economic impact of what we're doing here. So assuming that she's selling an average 20-pound turkey, free-range, locally produced, pasture-raised, the kind of turkey I enjoyed for my turkey dinner, which I can tell you was stupendously good. At the going price, that 20-pound turkey, under those conditions, can sell for as high as $6 a pound. That's $120 a bird. And people willingly pay that much because they want that locally raised, high-quality turkey. So there's 250,000 households in this state, give or take. What if only half of them bought one turkey a year? That's $7.5 million in our state rolling around in our economy. The economists say it goes around three times, sometimes seven times, depending in the local economy. That's money that's staying right here in Wyoming, helping our producers, helping our small farmers, helping our 4-H kids. If it rolls around seven times in the local community, from one turkey a year, from half the households in Wyoming, you're looking at $52.5 million. $52,500,000. Now, what if those families also bought a little hamburger? What if those families also bought some eggs? What if those families also bought some worm-free cabbages? You can see where this is going. This is huge, huge economic opportunity for our kids, help our kids get through college, not shipping it over the state lines where somebody else gets to add the value, where somebody else gets to process it in a gigantic facility under inspection, and somebody else ships it back into the state and puts it on the grocery store shelves here. I'd urge you to defeat the amendment.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I hope someday, Representative Wallace, you find a bill you're passionate about. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chair, I think our good representative from the northern part of the state really brings some good numbers to the table. And there's, and if we're going to talk numbers, I think maybe I could share some additional numbers with you. If we leave meat in the bill and our state certified packing plants lose their equal to status, then you've got an industry in the state that currently slaughters 4,000 animals a year, 83,000 pounds of meat, that has their livelihood put in jeopardy. So with the argument yesterday, it was okay. So if we lose the equal to status, the USDA is required to provide that for us. That's great. But if I was a packer and I lost that equal to status And I was dependent on this legislature or this state to make sure that USDA got in there and provided an inspection for us. What do I do in the meantime? Is this 2 days or is this 2 years? Now, I appreciate the concept and the idea about this home-produced meat and vegetables and the ability. I hope this lady from that place where I originate from continues to sell her turkeys and her chickens. But we can't pass the bill if we're going to put these established businesses throughout the state in jeopardy of losing their licensure. I think it's a consequence that we don't want, that they're dependent on us to protect them from having this happen. Now, my good colleague from up in Northern Bighorn Basin who's brought this amendment to the floor, the only reason he's done that is because he checked with the Department of Agriculture and says, is this bill okay to protect our equal to status? And the Department of Agriculture come back and said, if we remove meat products. We don't have heartburn, but we've got to protect this industry. And I think it's our responsibility to do so. As much as I like the bill and as much as I want to vote for it, I feel a greater obligation to protect that industry whose livelihood could be lost. And so I would recommend that we support in favor of the bill, or in favor of the amendment, and no on the bill. Thank you.
Representatives Wanitz or Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Echoing the last speaker's comments, I think it was 7 years ago I started the first meat war. For those of you who are new to the body, this is not a new bill and not a new concept, and I think I can finally call them the meat wars because we've passed this bill out of this body several times, and I know we're not supposed to reference what happens in the other body, but I'd submit to you that this bill is back before us again this year because we don't make compromise on this very amendment. And so, and echoing a good comment from the Judiciary Chairman earlier about we don't want to see it again next year, 2 years. Maybe this year we could pass this amendment, get this program started, at least get it, you know, initiated and going in our communities, and then we can address this issue later. But I'm really tired of losing this bill every time because we, you know, can't concede this one point. So I'd ask you to support the amendment, and then I'd be more comfortable supporting the bill knowing it actually will go into effect and we can see if this program works. Thanks.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry. I would remind the body that we did pass a committee of the whole amendment, which has now been attached to this bill, which says any provision of this act or the application thereof to any person or circumstance is held invalid or suspended, that that such actions shall not affect other provisions or applications of this act or existing Wyoming law which can be given effect without the invalid provision or application. And to this end, the provisions of this act are severable. What that Committee of the Whole Amendment says is that if action is taken that would declare our state meat inspection program invalid or suspended, it can be taken off the table at that time when that threat really happens, as opposed to just maybe it will. And if it does, then meat can be taken off the table and everything else in the bill can go forward as it was. I think that addresses the concerns that protects the meat processors in the unlikely event that they would be affected by this bill, which in reality has absolutely nothing to do with them.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Northlip, I'm curious to hear more about Jane and Julie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I took this to the Department of Ag after first reading and all the amendments were put on it except for Chairman Harvey's. They were the ones that said, you have to pull meat out. If meat comes out, it's a good bill. That's why I'm taking it upon myself to fall upon the sword and push this through if I can. The meat industry, as the good speaker from the central part of the state has said, is a large industry. He was talking raw numbers. If you take those numbers and multiply them by a factor of 3 or 5, whichever the economic one you wish to use, it turns into be a big industry. There's a lot of people and families that rely on it, and I urge your support on this amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number, or third reading amendment number one to House Bill 108. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment carries. Thought so. All in favor, say aye, or stand up. The amendment fails. House Bill 108 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown. Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey. Harvey?
Excused.
Harvey excused. Hunt?
Aye.
Hutchings?
Aye.
Yagi?
Aye.
Kasparic? Kasparic?
Aye.
Kirkbride?
Aye.
Croker?
Aye.
Crone?
Aye.
Larson? Lockhart?
Aye.
Laux?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McKim?
Aye.
Miller excused. Moniz?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup? Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 13 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 108, having received a majority vote of the members elected to the House, House Bill 108 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143.
House Bill 143 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to game and fish, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 143 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey excused, Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 143, having been read three having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 143 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 149.
House Bill 149 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the official mythical creature of Wyoming, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 149, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Excused. Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller. Excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 10 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 149, having received the majority of the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 149 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill number 186, introduced by Representative Petrov, an act relating to taxation and revenue be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 186 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
No.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Coleman,
Connolly, Davison,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, excuse. No, Harvey? Harvey, aye. Hunt,
no.
Hutchings, Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick. Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 34 aye, 25 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 186, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 186 has passed the House. We are now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, general file of the day will be according to the yellow sheet with one change. The third from the end, House Bill 147, move that to the bottom. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of resolving into Committee of the Whole, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. House has resolved itself into Committee of the Whole. Representative Coleman.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill, I don't have my yellow list. Patty, what's the first bill? House Bill 175 for our consideration. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 175, as introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to juveniles requiring notification to parents, guardians, or custodians when a juvenile is issued a citation as specified and providing for an effective date. Madam Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 175, Juvenile Citations, Notification by Law Enforcement, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Connolly, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller. Those who voted no, Representatives Baker, Gingrey, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation the House Bill 175 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. I'll just walk you through that real quick. They had a line in there that said you shall take reasonable and necessary actions. The committee switched that to shall attempt. I'd ask for your aye vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would be happy to answer any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, but if there aren't any, I would call for the question on that.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would turn over the explanation of the bill to the good representative from Laramie County.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The concept of this bill is simple, and I think the Committee of the Whole amendment has addressed major concerns, or some concerns that were raised in the committee. At this point in time, a juvenile might receive a citation for a traffic offense, shoplifting, minor in possession, and their parents may never receive notice. There is no specific requirement for law enforcement to notify the parents. You know, we would hope that the parents that the children and the parents are communicating enough and that information gets transmitted, but it doesn't always. And that can lead to bigger problems down the road and a greater strain on the system. For example, if a teenager receives a citation and is sort of spacey about it, as teenagers sometimes are, and they don't pay the fine, then a bench warrant might be issued. And that causes greater problems. Also, early intervention by parents is perhaps our best source of prevention. And we've made this flexible enough so each jurisdiction can apply its own customs. They can do more than is required by this. They just can't do less. So all this bill does is set minimum standards for law enforcement to attempt to notify a parent when it issues a citation. And I would be happy to answer any questions and urge your favorable support of the bill.
Representative Stepson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and in favor of the bill. To me, this is really a bill about fairness. And, you know, I go back to, I'm sure many of us looking at this bill can kind of harken back to personal experiences. When I was growing up in the Bighorn Basin, we had the local paper that every time one of us would get cited, the local paper would carry it. And so you have this very unfair situation where only kids in small towns get outed on their citations. And I found another category of kid that sort of got unfairly singled out. I remember one time trying to get a little air under my Mustang II and getting a sizable citation, speeding citation. But fortunately, I was in a big city in the center of the state. I wasn't at home, and so my name wasn't published in the paper. And I remember this sort of shocked and ashen-faced look of my mother as she found the carbon slip of the ticket in my jeans as she did my laundry, which reminded me that stupid kids also got singled out. And so I think this bill is a great bill in that it puts all kids on an equal playing field, and we no longer have to worry about just those poor kids in small towns and the stupid kids.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also, like the previous speaker, when I was growing up, when I got in trouble, the police just called my folks. So I was kind of in the category that they knew anyway. And I think this is just a good idea. We've had a handout from some folks that point out some real positives for this bill. And I would urge to support it.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say ditto to the previous speaker. I think this is sort of a nice move toward somewhat harkening back to the days of old when police didn't need to be involved in a legal way. They just dropped you off at your parents' house, and then that was a much worse penalty than anything that the judicial system can dish out. So on and in favor.
Representative Thrawn. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. With full disclosure, I was never in trouble as a youth, so I have no position on this one.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I'm torn on this bill. I can reflect back on my youth, and I would have been opposed to this bill. But then I became a parent, and I guess it's not so bad after all. But now, as a representative, I'm representing the youth, who I expect probably would oppose this, and the parents also I'm representing, and they're probably for it. So I'm just going to have to wait till third reading and see what my mail says.
Representative Thrawn.
Madam Chairman, since no one really spoke in opposition, and I'll make sure the good representative from the land of the Bighorns gets all the right mail, I'd like to call for the question on this bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Gingery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 175 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The bill passes. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 197 is introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to decedent's estates, clarifying the summary procedure for distribution of personal or real property, and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom referred House Bill 197, summary procedure for distribution of decedent's property, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Sorry, Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 197 do pass, and I turn over the explanation of the bill to the good gentleman from Albany County.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, this is cleaning up a mess I left when the last time I worked on this statute. This statute used to apply to real property, but it said that if there were that an estate had both real and personal property, then the personal property could be included. That's why the stricken language said, in the alternative, if a person or persons claim both real and personal property. I then amended the statute and said, you can use the statute for personal property or real property. So that language in the alternative doesn't apply anymore. I wasn't even going to bring this bill, but every time I read that statute, it just bugs me. So I brought it, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration for my peace of mind the next time I read this thing.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Gingery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 197 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. And it carries. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint 3, Representative Gingery. Sorry. The reading clerk will read the bill.
This is House Joint Resolution number 3, as presented by Representative Hunt. A joint resolution requesting Congress to refrain from enacting any laws which restrict private property rights in violation of the United States Constitution, calling on the Wyoming delegation to Congress to resist the enactment of all federal laws which impinge on property rights, calling on all elected officials in Wyoming to recognize and protect property rights as guaranteed by the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Wyoming. Madam Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 3, Private Property Protection, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, Watt, of one no vote, Representative Connolly, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 3 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. All the Standing Committee Amendment was, we were listing all these different constitutional provisions in both the U.S. Constitution and Wyoming Constitution. We found one more from the Wyoming Constitution that should be added, so we added that, and then we... At the end, it says who it should be sent to. The resolution gets mailed to. It said elected officials. We thought it should go to elected officials and to the agency heads. So we added in agency heads. Unless there's any questions, I'd ask for your aye vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted, and we are back on the bill. Representative Gingrey or Hunt? Hunt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I bring House Joint Resolution number three, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. This is a resolution that I brought 2 years ago, and this just reaffirms and takes a stand for our constitutional God-given rights to have private property and to do with it what we want to do. It points towards specifically not just elected officials, as the good chairman of judiciary says, but also at agency heads and agencies in general. I see that we have a developing, growing problem in this country, at least on the particularly the federal level, of agencies run amok with being given powers that in some cases trump those of elected officials, or at least are more authoritative than those of elected officials. And these agencies do have rulemaking authority, and the rules that they can enact have legal consequences that go with them. And in an era where it's sort of bureaucracy run amok, I think that a reminder needs to be given to Congress, to the President, and to people right here at home in this state that we do have private property rights and they should not be impaired. And I would just give an example, and albeit these are rare and far and in between, but there are examples. And going back as far as 1988, where an individual, not in this state, but an individual was imprisoned for basically moving dirt from one corner of his property to another corner because the EPA had a certain federal agency had declared dirt to be a pollutant, and his actions were apparently in violation of their rules and regulations. So anyway, this is what the bill does, and I would stand for any questions, and if there are no questions, I would call for the question. Thank you.
Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill number, House Joint Resolution number 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
It passes. House Joint Resolution 3 has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.
How do I call for? Are there any committee announcements? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet right now at noon in H8. We will take up House Bill 204, Katie's Law, House Bill 202, Transcripts in Criminal Cases, and then we never got to it this morning, so we'll take it up at the end of that. House Bill 220, Involuntary Hospitalizations, Jury Trial.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number three, Revenue, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. In room H11, the bills we're going to cover, first of all, will be House Bill 210, large trucks, the mileage tax. The second one will be House Bill 199, cigarette taxes. And the next one will be House Bill 70, vehicle registration. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Your committee number 7 will meet upon adjournment today to hear a lunch adjournment to hear House Bill 18, Telecommunication Internet Protocol Enabled Services, and House Bill 123, Restaurant Liquor Licensees Dispensing Rooms, in about 5 minutes. Thank Thank you.
Representative Davison.
Thank you. Committee number six will meet, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. in 302, and we'll go over 131 game fish definition, 136 game and fish license fees, 157 game and fish license residency, and 137 game and fish indexing of license fees.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your Labor Committee, Committee Number 10, will meet tomorrow, January 25th, upon noon recess in room H18 to discuss House Bill 132, chiropractic licensure amendments.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in H18, I believe, to discuss the following bills. House Bill Number 182, Determination of Highway Right-of-Way on Federal Lands. House Bill 179, Failure to Observe Closed Roads. House Bill 161, Outdoor Advertising Fees. And House Bill 189, Repeal of Real ID.
No further announcements. I call for the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
The Committee of the Whole will rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.